Good afternoon, church. It's great to be here and to fellowship together. I want us to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to read from verse 13 to 16. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll read from verse 13 to 16. It reads, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed them, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." And then also I'll read one verse from Genesis chapter 47 and verse 9. "And Jacob said to Pharaoh, 'The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life. They have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage.'" Father, we thank you for our gathering this afternoon. And Lord, we're asking that your grace will continue to increase. We're thankful, Father, for your presence in this house. And we ask, Lord, that you would cause your spirit to speak to our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want to share with us today what I've entitled, "Your Pilgrimage on Earth." Your Pilgrimage on Earth. The portion of Scripture, or the two portions of Scripture that we read, was speaking about, certainly in Hebrews chapter 11, it was speaking about the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who were pilgrims. They were on a pilgrimage on the earth. And in that pilgrimage, there were certain things that they were to do. You see, a pilgrim is somebody who is not resident, is somebody who is passing through, somebody who is on a temporary, put it a better way, somebody whose home has been set up temporarily. One of the things we need to understand as believers is that we're temporary on this earth. We are passing through. And if we do not understand this dynamic of the believer's life, we will live our lives in a way that will hinder what God wants to do in you and through you. And so I want to somehow stir us up this afternoon that you are on a pilgrimage. When God spoke to Abraham, he said, "I want you to sojourn in the land of Egypt." The word sojourn means also a temporary stay, because Abraham was journeying where his family was to the promised land. He was a nomad, and the nomadic lifestyle was led by the Spirit of God. And you and I have to understand and adopt the mindset that our life on earth is nomadic. It's nomadic. We set up a tent and we move as the Spirit indicates to us to a certain place. And we stay there for a season and a period. And then we then pick up our tents again and move to another place. Always moving towards the promised land. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are here temporarily. And in your temporary stay, you have an assignment. You have a mandate. And one of the things we need to understand that this pilgrimage, this nomadic lifestyle is generational. Because you see, Abraham is sojourning from one place to another. And then his son, Isaac, also is sojourning from one place to another. And then Jacob, also the same. And that's why when Joseph called for his family to come to Egypt, Pharaoh wanted to meet more. Rather, it was protocol for Jacob and his family, well, representative rather, in accordance to Genesis chapter 47, they went to see Pharaoh to basically thank him for his hospitality. And they were placed in a land called Goshen. And the scripture says in Genesis 47 that when Jacob went to see Pharaoh, as he was going to him, he blessed Pharaoh. And then Pharaoh asked him, how old are you? And it's interesting, the response of Jacob. Jacob doesn't say, I am X amount of years old. He rather puts it like this, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. And so, when we look at our lives, and in fact, it's really interesting, there was an individual many years ago, anytime they have their birthday, they wouldn't do like what most of us do. We would go and have a party, go and have a meal, go and have fun, celebrate. They weren't doing that. What they would do is they'll go on a retreat, spend time with the Lord, to hear what the Lord had to say to them for the next season of their life, to reflect. Now, when I look at that individual, certainly then, in comparison to me then, that person was demonstrating a life of pilgrimage where they were assessing their lives very accurately and reflectively so that they are in the way of the Lord. I don't have much time to unpack everything, but I get a sense that the Lord wants to do a new thing with CLF. There's a new thing that God wants to do. The thing is that are we sensitive to the new thing? Because when Israel were moving through the wilderness, God was leading them. Moses was so smart. He said, God, if you do not lead us out of Egypt, I am not interested in this assignment you've given me. I don't want an angel to lead the children of Israelites. I want you to lead us. And God came and he led them by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Listen, brothers and sisters, in this new season, we need the Spirit of God to lead us in our time of pilgrimage. We are moving to a destination. You have to be sensitive. You have to discern. All the different ones who came and shared a word from the Lord, we need to pick what God is saying to us in this season. So let me just give you quickly a few points. When we talk about your pilgrimage on earth, certain things that you have to consider on your pilgrimage. The first thing, and forgive me, I'm going to rush through because there's a point I want to get to. Number one, you have to depend on the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You've got to depend on him. You've got to incline your ear to hear him because the Spirit speaks at times very softly. In fact, because he's a spirit, he doesn't speak through our natural means. Although sometimes our natural means will kind of pick it up. The Spirit speaks metaphorically. And he speaks through dreams and visions. And he speaks through preaching. And he speaks through at times as you're reading the scriptures. He will speak. And that's why you have to incline your ear.
And you have to spend time in the Word so that you can hear what He's saying. And you mustn't cloud your life with watching this and watching that and TikToking. That TikToking is something. I don't even want to talk about what TikToking has been doing to me. The time that has been stolen from me. These few minutes of something. And then before long, let me not expose myself. Hallelujah. There's somebody whose shoulders is going like that over there because they're sniggering because they know what I'm talking about. The TikToking stole two. Wasn't as much as that. 1 hour something, watching nonsense. Some of it is very funny. And guess what? Because I know how dangerous it is, guess what I do? I like watching the animal safari stuff. You know, the leopards and the lions and the football, you know, those ones. And some few comedy ones, because the other ones are dangerous, so I don't even want to go there. So what I do, I watch. And then before I know it, and then I said, this is nonsense. And then I said, Lord, please forgive me. I could have been spending this 1 hour in the spirit, masiparu sekendo lomanto, praying in the spirit, charging myself up so that my receptacles will be sensitive to hear what God has to say to me. How you live is very important in this season. One time I was praying and spent time and I was just praying and then I began to see things. The more you pray, the more you wait on God, the more sensitive you'll be. Listen, remember, your spirit is such that when you charge it, the Holy Ghost will be present to whisper things to you. Many of you want to see things like the prophets. You want to hear things like the prophet. Listen, you don't even have to be a prophet. The mere fact that you're a believer, there's a prophetic nature you have. And as you press in and as you pray and as you call on God, your spirit will open up and you'll begin to see things. You will have open visions. You will have closed-eye visions and you would also have dreams. Oh, come on. Somebody needs to stir themselves up in this season. God is about to do a new thing. But He cannot do a new thing with old wineskins. Oh, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Number one, depend on the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Number two, obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes what happens, the Holy Spirit will say something to you you actually don't like. Oh, how many times have I heard things that the Spirit of God has spoken to me and I didn't like it and I resisted it. And to my failure, I have to confess, I disobeyed. And as a result, I missed a kairos moment, a point where God was shifting me forward and I missed it. And I had to go back into the wilderness because I didn't obey the voice of the Spirit of God. We need to have confidence in Him that if He leads us somewhere we don't like, know this, it's actually for your benefit. Because as He leads you on your pilgrimage, He will lead you to places where you will experience your maximum, let me put it another way, where God directs you will yield maximum results. It will yield maximum results. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 26 that God said to Isaac, don't go to Egypt. Very interesting. If you look at his father, God said to Abraham, I want you to go to sojourn in Egypt because of the famine and the difficulty. And he was there for a period of time. And then after that, that's when he then was asked to sojourn to Gerar. Moving from place to place. But God then deals differently with Isaac. He says to him, don't go to Egypt. Stay in the land of the Philistines. Stay in Gerar. And there was a famine in that land. And listen to this. The Bible says when Isaac sowed in the land, guess what? The Bible said he yielded 100-fold. If you allow God to lead you and you obey him, what looks weird, what looks dry, what looks rubbish, what looks doesn't make sense is the place where the Spirit of God is going to cause you to flourish. Can you imagine that? In that place, he began to grow. And the Bible talks about how the Lord blessed him. And it says the man waxed great. And he says he went forward. Many of us want to go forward in our lives. You want to go forward? Listen to God. You want to move at an accelerated God? Listen to the Spirit of God. And he will lead you. on your pilgrimage. He says he went forward and he says he grew until he became very great. Many of us want to increase. Many of us want to be strong. Many of us want to amass much and do well and be successful. Let me tell you, you can only do it in the Spirit of God. In God's Spirit is hidden all the things God has for you. In fact, God has actually put it in your spirit. That's why there are inklings in your heart. That's why there are certain desires. There are certain leanings. There are certain yearnings. Many of you feel the pull of ministry. Many of you feel the pull of the prophetic. Yes, there are certain ones. I feel you. I see you. But I'm not going to go there. And I want to say the young ladies in this house, their intercessory prophetic nature wants to grow in you. But unless you draw to the Lord, unless you incline and hear what he's saying, he will not take you out of the difficulty, out of your bondage, out of your challenge. Oh, I don't know if somebody is hearing what I'm saying to them about their pilgrimage. He would direct you, send you to a place. It defies the odds. Follow, you will move, and boom, you grow. And that season is coming upon you, my dear brother. You will move. It doesn't make sense. Move. Move, listen to him. And as you move, boom, you'll experience an acceleration and a growth and an increase. But hear this. Sometimes the place God will send you is not a nice place, yet you will receive maximum results. Jesus gets baptized. God speaks. The Holy Ghost comes in bodily form, affirms his ministry. Affirms it before everybody, not an inner witness, not a vision, not a dream, audible voice. So everybody around could hear Almighty God has spoken about his son. Yet immediately after that, the Bible says he was driven into the wilderness. Another version said he was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. It was the orchestration of his father for him to be tempted in the wilderness, because the testing and temptation is a season for you to stand strong in God's word and break through. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't know if I'm saying something. Oh, I don't know. Listen, my time is running out. But listen, I want to encourage you, and let me end with this. In this season of testing and of suffering, most of us, we're not used to suffering. Suffering is the place God will use that suffering to promote you, to increase you, to propel you forward. Let me give you an indication what suffering looks like. I'm sure many of us understand what it is. Number one, it looks like pruning. Number two, it looks like dealings, where God would deal with you in a particular area. There's an area that's not right, and God would deal with you. I remember a season he was dealing with me in an area. It took years, but he kept, and I couldn't understand what was going on. And I got input that God was breaking me. He was dealing with an area. And when I understood it, I thought that area was going to stop. Oh no, there were more years, because it was deep, rooted, carnal, rubbish, base, thinking and behavior, which needed to be cut out. And God took his scalpel and he began to cut it out. No matter how I screamed, no matter how I cried, he cut it out, because he was looking at my pilgrimage and a new thing he wanted to do in my life, and he had to cut it out so that it doesn't hinder me, because there's a new thing he wanted to do. There was a new wine that was coming, and he needed Philip to have a new wineskin. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice who feel God is pulling them this way? Listen, embrace the suffering, embrace the challenges, embrace the difficulties. But God is dealing with you, and in the dealing, he's breaking you. The purpose of the suffering is to upgrade. We're suffering. Pastor Joe, powerful. I've known I was going to say the gentleman. I've known my bishop for how many years? He's no longer with us, and we're suffering in pain. I'm hearing the prayer warriors are saying they're hearing abandonment. There's some people who are feeling they're abandoned. There's some people they're feeling they're lost. We were told earlier on that there's a gap. Oh, come on. Listen, God knows there's a gap, and he wants you in that gap to stand strong and stand firm and look unto the hills. Where comes your help? He's the one who plugs the gap. That's the role of the intercessor. Jesus Christ, our advocate, the great one. He's the one who will plug that gap. If only you will connect and look unto him, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one. There is upgrade coming. There's upgrade. That is why you're going through what you're going through. You don't deal with it naturally. You deal with it spiritually. You go into the upper room and you say, God, avenge me of my adversary. God, what is happening? And in the upper room, 120 of them, they didn't pray 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days, 1 month. They kept praying. They said, I'm not going to let you go. They adopted what their forefather was doing. It was Jacob. He said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. And I want to encourage you, if somebody will go into the upper room, if somebody will hold on to God and don't leave the upper room until he speaks to you, God will speak to you. God will cause you to break through. Oh, am I here saying something? And in closing, the scripture talks about the new wineskin. And because of time, I wish I could read it. Luke chapter 5 and from 38, he said, you don't put a new wine into old wineskins. Because if you do, the nature of the new wine has growth and has dexterity and has the ability to expand by nature. The fact that it's new and there's a fermentation process going on. There's, the new thing God wants to do is bigger than your current container. So God has to have a new wineskin. And listen to what the scripture says. It goes down and it says that you put new wine into new bottles. Now listen. When it talks about new wine, there are two different Greek words. The word new within a new wine is different from the word new in new bottles. The word new in new wine means something that's brand new, brand spanking new. The word new bottles, that word new is different. It's kano. It means refreshed. What God is saying is this. Many of us think it's going to be a totally new wineskin that will be developed. Many of us, we've been thinking new wineskin. Let me tell you, no. What God is saying is there will be a refreshing of the new wineskin. The refreshing of the new wineskin is this. It will be refurbished. It will be reconditioned. Because back in those days, when they would have wineskins, they would throw them out of the window. When they finish using them, the sun will cause it to dry and be parched. The new wine, the wineskin was made of leather, and inside they would put pitch so that it was waterproof. So obviously, when it didn't have the water, the wine inside, it would then dry up in the sun. And so when they tried to put new wine into it, it will crack and it will break, and the new wine expands. So what they would do is this. They will take the old wineskin and then they will soak it in water and then pull it out. And then soak it in water and pull it out. They will do that process over and over. And then afterwards they'll take oil and they'll rub the oil into the skin of the wine bottle. And they'll rub it, the process over and over and over until it became softer. So the old wineskin became new, refreshed, reconditioned. That's what the scripture is saying. I want to encourage you. You can have a reconditioned vessel. Did you not speak about vessel? A reconditioned vessel that will handle the new wine. What is about to pour in Greenwich and pour in CLF is amazing. But I don't know if there's somebody here who would say, Lord, soak me in water. Soak me in oil. Soak me in water. Water is symbolic of the word. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 that Jesus washes the bride with water by the word. So if you in the season begin to get into the word, read the word, and then what do? You want to be rubbed on with oil. So you go into prayer, and as you're praying, the Holy Ghost will come upon you and rub his person on you, and you're in the word, and you're in receiving oil. You're receiving the word, and you're receiving oil, and as you soak and soak, your wine skin will be renewed, and then God will say, now I'm about to do a new thing, and he pulls it out into you. I don't know if that is you today, but if it is, can you stand to your feet and let us call on God? Stand to your feet. Nathan, can you quickly come? Come on the keys. That last song, there was so much anointing on that song. Oh, come on. I want you to lift your hands. Listen, I want you to say, God, take me into a season. Give me grace to go into a season of prayer and the word. Prayer and the word. Come on. Because, say, Father, I need grace. It's an anointing and it's a spirit. Yeah, play that song softly. Kabosi Kranda. Begin to call on God. Young people, you have no idea what God has in store for you. You have no idea. It is so phenomenal because what God does, and I know it will mess up what how you think, but God visits people and there's a grace he has for them. And what he does is this, the grace is then transferred onto the children. And then that grace, as it's stewarded properly, goes on to the next generation. There's a reason you are fighting and it's difficult. It's because the enemy wants to stop the flow of what God wants to do in you. I'm not speaking off my head, because when I was praying, God showed me something about you guys a couple of weeks ago. Listen, I want to encourage you. Now is the time. Get into prayer. Get into the word. Soak and soak and transform that old wineskin into reconditioned, amazing wineskin that can handle the new wine. Guess what, guys? This is the apostolic model. Because the apostle said, it's not right for us to be serving tables. But we must give ourselves to what? Prayer and the word. Somebody lift your hand and say, God, give me the spirit of prayer and hunger for those scriptures. Not small devotions. Begin to set aside 1 hour, 2 hours. Soak in the presence. It doesn't look like there are many people convinced here. Lift your hands before the Lord, because a new one is coming. And I know many of you don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. Kabosi kelua. Zampanteliatua, Branda Kazita Lamanda. The old wineskin resembles wrong thinking, old mindsets. You're looking back, limited perceptions, rigid, but there's gonna be a change that's coming. Oh, come on, can you sing it as Pastor Angela comes? Sing it out, and I want you to press in. Make a declaration today. This is not emotions. If you will hear the Spirit of God, he will empower you to move forward. Hallelujah. Some God.